So that's good. Hey, I wanted to just honor our moms and introduce our panel to you today. But before we do, I wanted to give you a scriptural text to make it legal. Okay? So just so you know, how I feel about Bible teaching at our church, it can be topical and it can be exegetical, but it always needs to be biblical. Okay? So I don't care what we're doing, but the Bible needs to be the point from which we preach. We let the scripture interpret itself. We let the Bible instruct us. We don't care about someone's opinion, right? We care about what the Bible says. Amen, somebody? So I want to give us a little text here to make it legal, if that's okay with you. Exodus chapter 20. And we know this as the Ten Commandments, right? Or the Decalogue, if you want to get real Greek with it. Deca means 10. The 10 rules, the 10 laws. And some of you maybe have the Ten Commandments memorized. But the one I want to look at that really has to do with Mother's Day is this, verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And first of all, it's because that way your mom won't kill you. Right? But also, God shows honor to those who are honorable. Right? So when we honor our parents, it doesn't always, once you come into an adulthood, it doesn't mean you always obey, right? But it does mean you honor. And there is an important aspect in society that's missing right now. In American culture, we're lacking honor. We're lacking it in the public sphere. We're lacking it in the governmental and political sphere. We lack it in church. We're lacking it in every area of culture. And we want to honor moms today. So I pulled the text today, but I'm going to step aside because I'm not an expert as a mom. But I do want to, first of all, we're going to honor moms by giving every woman in here 18 years and older a rose. So if you're 18 or older, snag one of these guys and make sure the ladies that are serving in kids' church out there too get one. Good, good. Awesome. We love you. Can we just give, moms, do you mind standing up? All the moms, please stand. Just stand up. Let's give a hand to all of our moms. We love you. We honor you. You're the best. You carried us for 9 months and then labor and delivery, and you put up with all of our diapers and foolishness up to the year 18 and beyond. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all the cooking, for all the cleaning, for all the diapers, for all the back talk. For all the sass, God, we are so sorry. We are so sorry for all of that. And so we honor you, we thank you for serving us. And without your mom, you wouldn't be here. All right? So I'm going to introduce you to our panel today. You can sit down if you're a mom. Thank you. I'm first of all introduce my mother, Waverly Hansen. She's going to be sharing in the panel today. She is probably one of the most encouraging women I know. Massive encourager, has her master's degree in counseling, does lots of crisis counseling with people in marriage counseling, in addiction recovery, those who are at risk for suicide. So have a seat here, Mom, and let's hear it for Waverly Hansen. My mother-in-law is here. Sharon Gibson, who is the wife of Dr. Ken Gibson, the founder of Learning RX down in Colorado Springs. I love Sharon. Her dad and my dad used to sell Fuller Brush together as church planters, Pentecostal preachers in Wisconsin. She loves Jesus a whole lot. She's a prayer warrior. Her mother was an incredible prayer warrior. Will you please welcome Sharon Gibson as she comes? And a great, great, great mom of 5 great kids. And without her, I wouldn't have the wonderful wife that I have. And I'm so grateful. So we'll make her next, I guess, my wife. And now a CEO of Learning RX in Colorado Springs, the mother of my 4 children, my girlfriend, my best friend in the entire world. Just an amazing woman. I don't know what I'd do without her. I'm going to give her a kiss because she deserves it. And she's going to share. And then Pastor Dylan's wife, Kayla Hunyan, who is a brand new mother this year, little baby Sawyer. She has the freshest insights on motherhood of anyone on the panel. And so without any further ado, I'm going to pass it off to Miss Beth Johnson, who is our church administrator, soon to be licensed, and in a couple of years will be ordained. And she is going to, as a woman, but not yet a mother, ask some of the most important questions that we could ask of mom. So without any further ado, let's welcome Beth Johnson too.
So let's hear it for this panel. Holy cow, look at the wisdom that is sitting here right now. Are you impressed? Because I certainly am. But I do have to warn you, ladies, that I know all of your children. So don't try and lie to me. Okay, or us, because we know your children too. All right, thanks for joining us. We're going to start off with the first question. What do you love most about being a mom?
What I like about being a mom is that I can have a little mini me. And I like to try to figure out, you know, who they resemble and all that kind of stuff. But I love to have somebody that I can hug and kiss and take care of.
That's wonderful. Thank you. All right. Waverly, go ahead.
You know, I never thought about it that much.
What?
Don't have a mini me.
That is very true.
I had three sons, and just having someone precious in my life that I have a chance to influence for the Lord and love on.
Wonderful, thanks. Kim, do you want to go next?
I thought about this a little bit and wrote down a few things. One thing that I like, which I probably get from my own mom, is that I like hugs from my kids. A little bit of affection. Some of them don't give me much, so I just tackle them. Right, Max? He walked in this morning. This is, I think, the first time he's ever said something kind of sweet to me like this. He walked in and he said, "It's Mother's Day, right, Mom?" And I said, "Yep." And he goes, "Happy Mother's Day."
Aww.
So if you know Max, he doesn't just come up and say, you know, like, "I love you" or "hi." So that was pretty special. Yeah. I love watching or hearing my kids, like, repeat wisdom. That, to me, is really special. So just when they share something with their own friends, I kind of trained my kids a little bit that we were Hansons, and Hansons do things this way. That way they wouldn't compare, you know, or, you know, how sometimes you hear, "Well, everybody gets to do this." I just always kind of, I think my parents did it, but I don't remember if they did or not. But I would just always tell my kids, "Hey, you're Hansons. Hansons do it this way," or Hansons, you know, wash their hands, or they say nice things, or, you know, we go to bed when we're told, things like that. And so to hear, I can even think, you know, Lily not too long ago was sitting in the back seat with some friends, and she said, you know, "Hansons don't date until they're 16. I thought, awesome. And she goes, "And we didn't wear makeup until we were 13. And they were like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then she said she was going to do the same thing with her own kids. So I don't know what their last name will be, but, you know. Also, I always got a joy out of seeing how my kids dressed. You know what I mean? I loved watching them. I still do. You know, just having them pick out their own little outfits. And, you know, some of them have been doing this since they were really little. But I just love the personality of how they pick things. Like Lily used to always love bright colors. Gracie wore pink for like her first 5 years, and now she wears nothing but pink. I mean, everything but pink. Mostly gray, black, things like that. But I love seeing her personality come out in what she wears. Same with my boys, too. Especially if you've known Zach, he has some very peculiar fashion things. He wore some like Clark glasses for like a year that had no prescription in them. I don't know if you remember that. And then he used to pull up his pants and make them like short pants or something before it was popular. I was. And just seeing their individual personalities. I love seeing their personalities. I think that's one thing I think my mom taught me was you don't change who your kids are, but you help them develop so that their personalities come out and also so that they know how to serve and honor God. And so I love, but within their own personality and who they are. So don't, you know, try to change them, but help them be the best of who they already are.
Thank you.
Sorry, those were really long answers, huh?
Yeah, you're the one I'm gonna have to worry about, aren't you?
Yeah. I can't wait to see her personality. That's something I'm really excited for, but already what I love about being a mom, I feel like there's a whole new level of pride and love that you get the minute you become a mom that I wasn't ready for. Like, sometimes I look at her and I'm just like, you're the coolest person that's ever been on this earth. And I'm sure nobody else will think that, but I will always think you're the coolest person that has ever been on this earth. And the feeling of, I mean, I would do anything for Dylan, but it's another level of, I would do anything for her. Mm-hmm. And I love that feeling of someone that I can always fight for and I can always be her biggest champion, you know, just fighting for her. And that's my favorite part.
Well, I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you just said about how God feels about us. So that's really beautiful. Thank you. All right, our next question, ladies, is what is the best advice you ever got from your own mother? This might get awkward, Kim, I'm sorry.
It's actually not.
Okay, that's good. But you need to keep...
My mom loves giving advice. So I have a lot to choose from.
All right, well, let's start with her then. What's the best advice you've ever gotten from your own mother?
I've tried to think. loving God would be probably the very best thing I could say. Unfortunately, my mom had some pretty serious problems, so that's why I hesitated. I learned a lot, not what not to do. But she definitely taught me to love Jesus, and I will always be thankful for that. And that's always been the biggest prayer and wish for me, for my children, that they would always love God and put Him first.
That's good. Thank you.
This is not necessarily advice that my mother gave me, but it was an example. When I was a little kid, I used to go to school without my breakfast sometimes because my mother didn't get up out of bed immediately. And I realized that the reason was is she spent a few hours every day praying for us. And I can also include my dad in that example, because when he died, he had a prayer list. And they displayed it at his funeral. And all these people that were there were looking to see if their name was on the list. So I have the habit of praying for my family every single day.
That's beautiful.
Not to the degree that my mother did, though, I must say. But I do mention everybody in my family. So
that's a legacy. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, one thing that my mom does do that I always love if I even stay at the house is she plays a piano every morning, and it's usually worship music. And I love hearing my mom worship. But anyway. Okay, so my mom is great at advice. It's one of her biggest talents. It's something that she enjoys doing. Not all my brothers and sisters appreciate it, but I love my mom's advice. She's given me some of the best advice. For example, how to get a baby to sleep through the night. All my kids slept through the night, most of them around 10 days, most of them by 3 weeks, even my twins that were like a little before time. And she just gave me great advice on that. She loves to give advice on babies, and she's almost always right. Another thing that she taught me was that if you make a mistake, it's okay, just fix it. And it's funny because my pottery, like even when I was little, we'd be drawing something for a project and maybe I would goof up and I'd want to start over. My mom would be like, no, you can just make that into a flower. You know what I mean? Whatever that was. And so she always taught me that. And so to this, you know, when I started making pottery, I'd have something that'd like fly off the wheel and hit the cabinets or something. Or I'd smash it and I'd just pick it up and I'd be like, oh no, I could just cut that out and put a little handle there and decorate it over here. And that comes from my mom. That's totally my mom. So when people come up and go, wow, how did you think of that? I just tell them, well, I dropped it. And that's why it's so awesome and unique. So she taught me, you know, not to be a perfectionist, but instead be interesting. And when you think about that, do you really like perfect people? No. But do you like someone interesting? Absolutely. So that's kind of one of my own life lessons that I try to preach. She also tried to always give me dating advice. In fact, she used to get mad at me in high school because I had kind of made a commitment that I wasn't going to date in high school, and it drove her crazy. She always would try to, you know, sell boys to me that she thought I should date, and told me that I was so picky, I was never going to find someone. Do you remember that? Yeah. and then... She did. She liked all my boyfriends. She also taught me, like, don't, like, when disappointment comes your way, like, don't take it too seriously. You know, like, if you're traveling and, you know, the plane, I don't know, you have to sit there and it got canceled and you're waiting in line or something awful happens, just laugh. And so my mom loves disaster, bad things. And so we just learned to laugh, and it's a much better way than to, like, take life too seriously. And plus, it's going to be a great story someday if you have to sit up here and be interviewed.
I hear a lot of redemption in that entire pieces of advice, just hearing how we can redeem things and just how God redeems things. That's really beautiful. Thank you.
It's really hard for me to pick because my mom's my best friend, so... All my life, she's just poured into me. I was really lucky that I got 5 years of just her and I before, you know, my sisters were born. And one thing she's always told me, and especially since I became a mom, because the first week, I was like, I'm gonna screw this kid up so bad, Mom. Like, I don't even know what to do. Sometimes I just feel like I'm just gonna ruin her. And my mom just always said, she said this in every situation, if your eyes are fixed on God, then it's in his hands and he's gonna work through you in whatever situation, whatever you're doing. If you're doing the best of your ability with God's help, you're gonna fail if you do it on your own. But if you do it with God's help, then you're always going to succeed.
That's beautiful, thank you. All right, our next question is, what do you wish your husband and children knew about the challenges of being a mom? I think you guys have been waiting for this opportunity for your entire lives. I think my mom will like to answer this question later today. She's laughing. You can hear it.
Well, if I'm first again, I would like to back up to question 3 because that one is very meaningful to me.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
How has your faith helped you with the challenges of motherhood?
Okay.
I tend to be, I'm an oldest child, and I tend to be very serious, even though I have a funny side too. But I really took seriously being a mom. And I really, really wanted to be a good, good mom. And so I read every book I could find on being a good mom. And I prayed a lot to be able to introduce my kids to God's love. I think one of the things I really wanted to share with you today, and I brought this little box, because at this stage of my life, I look back and I think, I've had at least 4 or 5 major life crises. And they usually were around a tragedy in my life, or what I considered a tragedy. But one of the things that always I could hang on to was that somehow God was going to see me through. And sometimes we don't remember what those early words were in our lives that planted that surety that somehow in the very end of this life, God is going to make everything come out okay. I don't remember how I actually learned that, but I really believe that in the end, and when you read the Psalms, David says that. David says, how come all these wicked people are getting away with all these terrible things they're doing, and you're not doing anything about it, God? And then as the chapter goes on, he talks about how he remembers their end and how God is going to even things out at the end, because he sure doesn't do it in this life all the time. And those things can bother us a lot. So during one of those first dark times in my life, when I was trying to sort out life, and of course my boys didn't know this, but what was happening to me, I wanted to be a good example of how God can help us. And of course I wasn't perfect, and I still not, unfortunately, but I would keep looking to God to help me be that person. And so my boys, of course, often didn't know what was going on in my life. But I remember for certain times, and I'm only saying this because I'm hoping it will help you to think of the times in your life when you've had to revisit, God, are you really there? Are you really enough? Are you really going to see me through? Because I don't know if I can do this. And so during one of those dark times, I remember sitting in a restaurant. We lived in Detroit at that point. And I started trying to explain to my husband what was going on for me. And I said, I've got all these little boxes I picture in my life where I'm putting things, but I ran out of boxes. And I don't know what to do anymore. Nothing makes sense to me anymore. And I wanted it to make sense. I'm a pretty logical person, and often I'm pretty skeptical. And so I really want things to make sense. And I'm not one of those people that would say right away, oh, God's got it, it's okay. I just wasn't able to do that at that point. But I was able to try to figure out, okay, God, what are you trying to do? And so during one of those times, I felt like God gave me this image of me having this file box, and I've told some of you this story, having this file box I'm carrying around under my arm. It's got different files in it. But in the back, there's a great big tab, and it says, to be answered later. Because there's certain things in this life that we never, ever get the answers for. But I know that someday God can give me the answer if I still care. And I think I'm going to be one of those people that'll still care. Then there was another time, and this was after we lost our son, Steve, when in my life, and this is an old box that I used to keep my hair ribbons in when I was a little kid, and I didn't even remember it because as an oldest child, most of your toys and most of your belongings get passed on to the next kid. And so I didn't even have this for years. And then my sister, younger sister Beth, said, does this belong to you? Was this yours when you were a little girl? And I said, yes. Would you like it? So I took it. And guess what? I found in my little box a card that my great-grandmother had given me, and she used to sing me the song that is in here. And it says, I am Jesus' little lamb, therefore glad and gay, and I know it doesn't have the same meaning, I am, Jesus loves me, Jesus knows me. All things good and fair he shows. Loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. And she gave that to me when I was really young. And at that point, I went to a Methodist church, and the front stained window was a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, having the little lamb in his arms. And that was after Steve died. And I was having, again, a whole big crisis of faith. And I felt like he gave me that image to show me. And I went back to that Methodist church. It was still standing. Took this picture. And I felt like he was asking me just to be his little lamb. Just sit in his arms. And not worry about all my questions. So again, he brought me back to believing that everything would be okay. Because at that point, I felt many times like I was going to lose my faith. And that was the most precious thing, and it is the most precious thing I have. I never want to lose that. And I know he'll do that for you if you're in a crisis of faith, or if you come to those dark times later. So every few years it happened for me. Pretty steady now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go ahead and continue with this question, and then we'll probably wrap it up. But yes, the question is, how has your faith helped you with the challenges of motherhood?
I'll share real quick.
Sure.
It's kind of a funny story, but when I was in labor with Sawyer, I was still at home at this point, and it was starting to get pretty serious. And so I was just pacing, and I told Dylan to turn off all the lights in the house because light was just bothering me. And he lit candles from our front door to our back door, and I was just, because our house is really small. So I was just walking from the back door to the front door, and I said, can you put on that song? And I don't even know what it's called now, but it's a Hillsong, and it's just basic Hillsong song. It's basically just the Apostles' Creed. And so it was playing. My mom said, I thought it was, you know, just five times maybe. She said I played that song for 4 hours while I was in labor, just over and over. And then we went to the birthing center, and I was still kind of saying it under my breath the whole time. And then when Sawyer was born, I felt God tell me, you brought her into this world with the words of what she's going to believe. And if you keep saying those to her over and over, those you're planting them in her heart, and she's going to believe them for the rest of her life. My sister said she can't listen to that song anymore because she listened to it the entire 12 hours I was in labor. But I still listen to it almost once a day, and I just say it to Sawyer over and over. You know, this is what you believe, and you can stand on this. This is true. This is what you can base your life off of.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Going back to the previous question, what do I wish my husband and kids knew?
How
about the challenges of motherhood? I don't really think that motherhood's that hard. I'm pretty happy just to be a mom. It would be nice, though, if they picked up after themselves. And then the other one is faith and how it helps you. I think the time when I've needed it the most, I mean, you try to live it out every day, right? And you want your kids. I think the biggest compliment as a mom is to have your kids love Jesus, right? Which is pretty cool. So far, I'm hitting pretty well on that. Just watching my kids, you know, worship, or Zach is like so friendly, and he just, he does really try to look like Jesus on the inside and out, and I think he's pretty much there. But I think as a mom, when it's hard is when you feel helpless, like there's something that you can't do. You know what I mean? So when Zach was about 18 months, he caught pneumonia, and he was in the children's ICU for, I don't know, 2 weeks or something. And we thought we were going to lose him. And I remember then feeling like helpless, like there was not much I could do except for sit there and pray and sing to him. I think, too, when your kids have a broken heart, you know, either they had a friend, you know, that was mean to them, or, I don't know, just losing, having a broken heart is a time when I've also just felt helpless as a mom. My mom was great, actually, when we would break our, you know, we'd have a broken heart. My mom would get super mad at whoever that was, and she would tear them apart and talk about how awful they were, and it was so awesome. I honestly feel like I could be a serial killer and my mom would still think it was their fault. Because my mom's just a really awesome mom that way. So, yeah, you better never, no, I'm kidding.
Well, I had a father who almost every sermon that he ever gave would have to do with how to live a Christian life and deal with people. and be forgiving, and there's no such thing as a broken relationship, that we have to love each other and be committed to each other. And so when I went to visit my brother isn't really living a Christian life, and he has a real down way of looking at things. I told him, and he's afraid, he doesn't talk a lot, because he's afraid he'll say something and you'll hold it against him. So because of the way I was taught, I told him, Henry, there's nothing that you could say that would make me not love you. So that's what my faith has taught me.
Thank you. And just to wrap up in three sentences or less, is there anything else you'd like to share with us? Your wisdom as mothers. You don't have to, but you can if you'd like something else to share with us.
Well, I'm at this stage of life where I got to see my kids grow up and saw them all choose to serve God. I tell you, that's the most satisfying thing in my whole life.
All of a sudden, I have a blank. But, one of the questions had to do with the character in the Bible that you most is your favorite, and my favorite character was David, who everybody was against him and they were like out to kill him, and he was hiding in a cave, and his response was to have a very intimate relationship with God and tell God how he was feeling, and God was there for him, and of course, what did he do? He wrote songs. So
going off of the whole Bible thing, I guess I'll stand her thing. I think something that was really cool about my childhood is that I went to a Christian school for quite a while, and every month we had to memorize a whole chapter of the Bible. And we were in church all the time, so I know like all the Bible stories. I think that's why I like doing kids' church. I like telling them even some of the stories that maybe they haven't heard, and they're like, wow, really? That's in the Bible? Even, you know, Bruce will do that sometimes. He'll be like, that's in the Bible, Kim? Yeah. And I think what's cool is that when you are in, I find that when I am in a time when I don't know what to do, or I'm in some kind of crisis, the right scripture comes to mind, the right Bible story, I think God uses that. So I think as much as you can, if you still have little kids around or little grandkids or whatever, to share all those Bible stories and the scripture and the songs, because it always comes, it's like the exact story, the exact song, the exact line that I need comes to me when I need it. If I need to feed it, or if I just need to soak on it. And so I think filling your kids with as much scripture and as much, you know, is a really cool thing, because I had it from my grandparents, I had it from my parents, and it really, it's true. The Bible says, you know, his word does not go void, and it doesn't. It just comes when you need it, and the Holy Spirit just brings it to you, and that's something that I hope for my kids, that all those songs, all those stories, all those, you know, things will be there for them when they need it.
I haven't been a mom for very long, but I have always prayed throughout my life that God would give me the gentle and quiet spirit that it is talked about in the Bible. And while a lot of you may think I seem pretty, you know, just quiet, but inside a lot of times my spirit is not. And I feel like being a mom has, in a way, Sawyer has given me that gentle and quiet spirit. Because when you have a newborn, they're just so peaceful, and sometimes they're not, but they're personality is so peaceful. And I feel like the greatest lesson I've learned, and I think Dylan could say this too, is we've learned so much through her, because she is so recent from heaven. She was just there. And she still has so many qualities that I feel like I can learn from her, and she's just a baby. But just to be needy to God, this is what I need, God. And we can be, she's honest with her needs. She screams when she needs something, and she screams until she gets it. And to be that way with God, you know, to tell him what I need until I get it, and just to have that quiet and gentle spirit has been really cool. So.
Thank you, ladies. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we?
Very good. Man, don't you appreciate our moms? Man, oh man. We have a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. Will you do this? Would you put your hand on the shoulder of a mom nearby, and let's just bless them in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you, God, for the example that they've shown us and how to hang in there in difficult times and how to put you first and how to lean on your word. And Father, how to stay encouraged in you. Help us to be those kinds of believers, Lord, that we follow the faith of our fathers and mothers, to be worshipers of you, God, through the thick and through the thin, through the ups and through the downs, God. We thank you for their example. Bless them this Mother's Day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everybody.